Pride in the Name of Love is a cover that you've chosen. John says you used to play it, hadn't played it in a while. What drew you to it then and now as a song that you like to hear yourself sing?
Simple and powerful. Like a lot of songs that I do, that are simple and powerful, but done sort of in a more bombastic way by the original group, I'll tone it down and the message will just, the sentiment will change, but it's a great song, so you can do that with it. You can mess with it, and that's one of those songs that works like that.
Any reason to why you wanted to do it now? He told me it sort of happened. You guys were working on another cover, and he said it wasn't going especially well, and said, do you know anything else? Is that how you remember it going?
Yeah.
What was the other cover? I'm just dying to... hurt somebody's feelings to say?
No, and it's not that it wasn't going especially well. We were just feeling our way through, and that cover still may make the cut. And in fact, there's more of a reason for it to make the cut now, because it was a Chris Whitley song.
Sorry about that.
It was a Wild Country. So we just kind of were on a cover day, you know. We did that, and we were kind of working our way through that. He said, what else you got? So I did Pride in the Name of Love, and then we also did this Paul Westerberg song. I think that song is an anti-war song. You know, that's what it is. So.
Pro-love.
Yeah, but right now it works well as an anti-war song.
And did you... one thing about that song, and I don't know how you feel about this, but there's a lyrically historically inaccurate reference.
Mm-hmm.
Did you change it?
Mm-hmm.
No. Did you think about changing it? Yeah. No.
No, I think that would have been self-conscious. The point is there, whether it was early morning or 5 p.m. or what it is, we all know what he's talking about. And I just think the song, I think it would have drawn attention to something unnecessary if I'd have changed it. I like that lyric, early morning, April 4th, even though it's not right.
John played me parts of These Four Walls, which I suppose that's the potential name for it,
mm-hmm.
anyway. And he was pointing out that this is an example of how, you know, you're getting
mm-hmm.
something down, the lyrics aren't finished,
mm-hmm.
the melody's there. So, you know, when you've picked the fragments, like the name of the song or the chorus or something, do you think you know where you're headed with a song on that? And tell me about it then.
Yeah, in that particular song, I absolutely know the feeling. I know what I wanted to do. And with that particular song, with These Four Walls, I'm almost afraid to finish it because the feeling it's so there without having to put words to it, and I don't want to mess it up, you know?
You ever been tempted to just put out a humming song or a...
No. I mean, I think if a humming song worked, then fine, but no, this is...
Well, humming isn't really fair to say what you do either when you...
No, there's la-la-las or, you know, there's things that can work that are nonverbal, but this isn't going to be one of them. You know, I know it needs to be fleshed out. And I just had the initial idea one day. And although when I wrote down the few lyrics that I had and I had the initial idea, it didn't have anything to do with John's music. It's another example of that again. It wasn't as dark. It was almost blithe, you know, and I could see it becoming comical. And then I came home, I was at my sister's when I wrote down some of these ideas, and he had sent me this new track, and I just knew it was going to go with it, so... I really love that song, you know, and I got to finish it. I'm so afraid I'm going to screw it up.
So So here in November, you've got to completely flesh out the lyrics over a couple of months. So does it sort of feel like on a couple songs when that's the case that, you know, that the timer is ticking a little bit? Is that inevitable?
It always feels like the timer's ticking, yeah. I'm just never going to be one of those people that's got, you know, I'm not going to be Ryan Adams. I'm not going to have so many songs lying around that I can't get them out fast enough. The timer's always going.
Okay. Okay, and then the last one you played a little bit. Oh, actually, I watched him add a piano track to So Good to See You. Is that the name of the working title of that?
Yeah.
And so was the addition of the piano. It sounded like it was your request. No? Okay.
Maybe. It might have been. I don't think so. So Good to See You.
Something you agreed on.
I don't even remember. No, this is the disadvantage of working in two different cities. But that's a good example. That I mean, I bet we worked on that before we worked on Summer Dress. That's an older idea. But he didn't like it. And I kept bringing it up. And finally, one day, not too long ago, actually, I mean, I worked on the lyrics a lot over the last spring and summer, but one day, after I came back from New York this fall and we had started recording, I just went into the studio here and did every song that we'd worked on so far, plus some more, on just vocal and guitar. I didn't care how they sounded. Because I needed I needed a better overview of what was going on, and I needed a sort of an emotional assessment of what happened when I played them. And So Good to See You is one I had not been able to convince him about. You know, he just didn't see it. I don't know if he'd grown tired of the idea or if just what I'd done had never... And when that happens, I can lose confidence in the song. You know, if it's not working for John, and I think the reverse is true. But I went in and I did it that day, and I was still liking it, you know? And then I sent it to Lisa over at the management office, and I sent it to my friend Stokes, along with a few other songs, and both of them were like, what's that song, you know, So Good to See You? And then I was like, fuck it, you know, this is good. But once he heard, John has a thing sometimes, if until he hears me actually do it alone, sometimes he doesn't get it. And then sometimes you can hear me do it alone and go, okay, I get the feeling, you know, I see what it is. So that's what happened with that.
So that is one where you had a musical idea first, no? So
yeah.
So what was it that he wasn't, was he just looking at lyrics?
No, I don't, well, you know, you'd have to ask him. It was his musical idea. The whole thing was his musical idea. Maybe it was the lyrics, because I tried something on that song. You know, it was thought out. It's like, okay, there's a verse that's, the singer's going to sound like they're over-intellectualizing, and then on the chorus, they're just going to let it go, you know. And I just really liked that idea. But the verses are, that took some work, you know. That was sort of awkward. And maybe it didn't translate when I first messed around with it. But I believed in it, and I finished it, and then he agreed that it worked.
This kind of push and pull you have is,
yes,
you like it. I mean, in, even though it's difficult sometimes.
It's the way partnerships work, yeah.
So then, you maybe have answered this already, but I'll put it a different way. So if A Few Small Repairs was a blessed experience, which you told me last time, and a whole new you was wrong record at the wrong time, is it possible to characterize this album's creation feeling in the way you guys are working together?
Yeah, I just think this one is a back to basics with some hindsight and maturity thrown in. It feels good. It's not the easiest record. It's certainly not the hardest. It's just what working is. And I really like it. So I feel great about it. Yeah.
And then what's the goal for tomorrow's session? I'm going to get to peek in on that. So what's happening tomorrow?
Well, something that I felt strongly about with this record is that it not be too Johned out. John can play everything, and I think he's fantastic. But I wanted it to be, John's a very intelligent player, very sophisticated. Not that he, I mean, to me he's very moving. But I wanted this to be a little, I don't know, a little less recognizable. And are you going to get Callie?
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't have to leave. Okay. She's going to go do it. I was going to go do it, but fuck it. And I, the Devils and Dust record, I liked the sound of that. I liked that his guitar and voice were really present, but there was kind of a rumbling. Yes. Yeah. There was kind of a rumbling underneath that was not real definable, but it was powerful. I thought it was sonically good. That's not what we've done, but one thing I thought would be a great idea, and over the years I've really wanted to put pedal steel on stuff, and we maybe have a time or two, but we're getting Greg Lease in tomorrow, who's just this kind of somewhat off the beaten path pedal steel player, you know, not a Nashville guy. Has kind of a different bend on it and different effects that he puts in, and I really wanted him on this record. So he's coming in for the next couple of days, and that's what we're going to do.
And which tracks? Selected tracks, or what's the record?
For sure he will be on a track called Cinnamon Road, a track called The Bird. He won't be on Summer Dress. So good to see you. I think we were just going to kind of throw him on a bunch of stuff and see what happens. But there's some for sure that we know we want to hear pedal steel.
So don't throw me out of the house for asking this question. But so if you put a pedal steel on a record, does that mean that, you know, a country station might play it?
No. No, there's some country music I really like. You know, I watched the CMAs the other night. There was some crap, but there was some really great stuff. And it's just criminal, you know, that they won't play the Dixie Chicks now. I mean,
that's really true.
It's just, well, we'll see. They're putting out a new record. We'll see what happens. You know, but no, it takes more than a pedal steel to get on country radio. If it were that simple, I'd have done it before.
So, okay, what do you know about managing your way through the music business that might not have been so clear to you in 2000 or any time around there?
Well, the music business has changed so much. So, I mean, 2000 was a weird time because I was still clinging to this idea that you could go about things, you could go about promoting yourself the way I had prior. And I thought I would get help from the record company, too. Not only had things changed enough so that the record company wasn't interested in promoting me because they saw no gain in it. I mean, to an extent, I can see their point of view. If all they're interested in is huge sales. I mean, there aren't, you know, radio is, well, it's corporate. Things have changed. There's not going to be a Sonny Came Home moment anymore. There's some great AAA stations, but that's not going to translate to any huge sales, which is fine with me. There's no sense making videos anymore because they won't get played. My videos won't get played, and they're an expensive undertaking anyway.
I never liked them.
Well, They're hard to do, but yeah, they can be fun. I made some I'm not real happy about, but it's a great promotional device. Yeah. Just
in its day.
For me.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
What I know now is kind of exciting. I mean, it's about alternative ways of getting promoted, tie-ins with bookstores, record stores, coffee stores, you know.
Is it a bit full circle?
How's that?
Well, full circle in that, the early days of promoting yourself were about small clubs and bookstores and things like that, or...
No, I think that still holds true. I mean, I don't think there's any substitute for the grassroots approach. And, you know, traveling is my desire to travel and my ability to travel as wantonly as I used to is what's changed. But no, to do in stores and tons of dates, small clubs, small theaters, what opening slots, whatever you can do. I mean, I think that's hugely important.
Do you feel like you're sort of in a fraternity or sorority with another group of artists that are coming to terms with this kind of moment, and who are you thinking of?
Yeah, and that's partially why I changed managers. I'm with a manager who works with Patty Griffin, Lyle Lovett, Emmy Lou Harris, John Hyatt, among others. I mean, he's got a lot of artists. But I know those artists, and they are, well, I think they're all super high quality, and they demand appropriate attention. And you can't make a miracle happen. I mean, none of us are going to be 5 million, you know, CD selling artists, but. If you can keep Lyle happy, if you can keep Emmy happy, then I know you're on to something, you know, for artists like us. So I liked Ken Levitan, and I liked his approach to how to market people like us and how to keep us financially in the pink, you know, because that's an issue.
So,
there she is.
Hey there.
This is Paul.
Hi. Hi, Callie.
Oh, Mom?
Yes, honey.
Okay, here's a gymnastics demonstration.
Oh, good. You did some work on it.
Okay. 4 handstands, 5 spider steps.
Okay.
A spider is...
Okay, show me.
I don't want to go over that.
Okay. Yeah, you showed me this on the floor at Amy's yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So 5 spider steps.
You go a back walkover.
Okay, back walkover.
Bridge push-up is where, like, when we start from, like, here and we push up, remember that?
Okay.
Ah.
What, did you come up with this with her
at
school today? Good work.
Two round-offs. Middle split, side split.
Okay, what's middle splits and side splits?
That's middle split.
That's middle split?
Side split.
All right. And you want a new leotard. Did you guys talk about the leotard she's going to wear?
Yeah. We were thinking, can we get take a shopping day?
Can I take the both of you shopping today?
Yes.
Well, I would need to talk to her mother and see if her mother was willing to buy a leotard.
I mean, because we're looking for, like, a certain leotard that's, like... I might have sparkles on my stomach,
mm-hmm.
and she in black all on everything else,
mm-hmm.
and then she could have no sparkles here and black on everything else.
Well, I think,
and I mean, she could have sparkles around here, and she could have sparkles like where I don't, and she have black where I have sparkles.
Well, I'm willing to take you guys to look, but I need to talk to her mom to make sure her mom's willing to buy one.
No, but why can't we buy one? Why can't you buy both of us?
I'll think about that.
Bye.